Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's read this together, okay? Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. You know what you are? Land.
Amen.
You made it dust, right? So that means you're land. The Bible says, make a joyful shout. I have a lot of people wanting to argue with me, telling me that they can worship God just sitting there doing nothing. That's foolish.
Amen.
You cannot sit there and worship God and do nothing. When the commander of the host comes into the room, we stand for him.
Amen.
We honor him and who he is. And not what we assume or what we believe, because what we believe and what we feel is not of God.
Amen.
The truth is of God. We've walked this world long enough by what we see and what we feel, what we think, and what we assume, which leads us astray every time. That's worldly. The Bible tells us that there's wisdom that is demonic and wisdom that is of God. So we're to make a shout to the Lord. And until we get into that position where we're willing to do what the Word says, we're under the wrong authority. We'll have a fight and struggle. We'll want one foot in the world and one foot with God. We'll say, Lord, I love you, but I just can't. Then he says, if you don't abide in me, you don't love me. And you're a liar. But he who abides in me loves me.
Amen.
And until we truly abide in him, we show him that we love him. He's had enough lip service from mankind. Now he wants to see it. Amen?
Amen.
Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come on with me. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. What's his name?
Jesus.
Amen. Verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Oh, isn't that powerful? Powerful. So we must get prepared and get into that position where we're willing to do whatever it takes. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So when you shout to the Lord, obviously it means something's got to come out of your mouth. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Glory to the Lamb. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll have a little quick teaching before we worship tonight. In verse 6. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. By this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Oh, now wait a minute. If spirit means breath, if you're going to sow a little bit, that means you're going to reap a little bit, aren't you? Does everybody get it? He who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. Let's go on. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's why the Lord says, you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Everybody wants God to do something in their life, but they're not willing to give God what is due to him. There's going to be people who are going to sit in the pew and waiting on God till they hit the throne room of God, and the Lord's going to say, what did you do with the life I gave you? And they're going to say, well, Lord, I've been waiting on you. And God's going to say, I've been waiting on you. I've done everything and given you everything, and you sat there. And you didn't do it. You didn't come after me. You didn't stir yourself up and grab hold of me. You wanted me to deliver you. You wanted me to bless you. You wanted me to position you. But yet you weren't willing to give me your life. Oh, Jesus, you're my Savior. I give you my life. Who? I give you my life, but yet I want to run it my way. No, you've not given Him your life. You've done lip service, and you've not given Him your life. Does everybody get that? See, God is doing a quick move in the body of Christ. Because He's coming soon. And He's getting ready to pour out His Spirit like it's never been poured out before. And His Spirit's either going to push you out of the way or move through you. One or the other. And I don't want to be pushed out of the way of the things of God. You know, He says, if you're not willing to lose your life, you can't be His. You can't be one of His disciples. We've got to come to that place where we're not trying to figure out the way God should be. And start surrendering to who He is.
Amen.
Amen. So it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. We must get to that place of sowing. Because the word spirit means breath. So we got to sow in the Spirit to get something, don't we? That's the only way you get something. The Bible says no man comes to the Father unless he's drawn. Drawn. He's got to come through Jesus, doesn't he? Go to Joel chapter 2. The book of Joel. Hallelujah. Book of Joel. Joel, J-O-E-L. Joel chapter 2. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2. And let's read this together in verse 20, 28. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Those days. Those days have already come.
Amen.
It's already been happening. God has been pouring out His Spirit since the day of Pentecost. It's still going on to this day. And what does it say? And they will prophesy and they will dream dreams. They will have visions, won't they? Because they're going to be brought into the spirit realm. And no more have a relationship with God in the flesh because you can't. You cannot have a relationship with God in the flesh. You'll be an outer quarter. And the devil will eat you up, tear you down, run you over. Amen? Every time. You only go so far till He eats you up again. Because you'll start doing it in your own strength and you won't last. But Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. But are you following Him? See, the word believe means to follow. If you're not following Him in the Spirit, you're being eaten up by the devil. He'll destroy your family. He'll remove everything from you and He'll put you back on His plate again where you'll serve Him. Does everybody get it? And it says, "What?" And I will pour out... Now, on the day of Pentecost, which was the book of Acts in chapter 2, if you'll turn there for a second. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. The book of Acts in chapter 2. This is what Joel was prophesying, and this is what came to pass. Praise God. Is everybody there? In verse 1, let's read it. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was the beginning of the church. That's what Joel prophesied. That was it. Of course, you're going to get a lot of religious people and tell you, well, who was there to interpret it? There was no interpreter. There didn't need to be. It was the beginning of the church. God poured out His Spirit, and He's doing the same thing as He did on the day of Pentecost today. The same thing. He's still pouring out His Spirit. People are still getting healed. People are still getting delivered. People are still getting filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. People are still praying in tongues. It's still going on. It's still happening. The one thing that prevents this to happen in someone's life is because they're not willing to surrender and yield. There are going to be people who get to the throne room of God and never been baptized in the Holy Ghost because they still want to do it their way. And it won't happen. They'll struggle and they'll fight and they'll try and do it in their own strength instead of yielding to the Spirit, willing to do whatever it takes. And they'll get to the throne room of God and go, man, why didn't I surrender then? Look at how easier it was for someone's walk to surrender into the Spirit and have power. Look at, let's go back to Acts 1. In verse 4. And being assembled together with them, He, Jesus, what did He do? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. He said, listen, don't you dare leave Jerusalem. You're My disciples. Don't you dare leave Jerusalem. What was He telling them? Until what? You wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He commanded them, do not go. Do not go. Do not go. Do not go. Jesus didn't ask them. He didn't give them a choice. He commanded them, do not go. Don't dare tell anybody about Me until you are baptized in the Spirit. Or you'll bring shame to My name. Go to verse 8. And He said, but you shall receive what? Power. You shall receive what?
Power.
Well, you shall receive what?
Power.
Power for what? Power to say no to the devil. Power to say no to temptations. Power to hold your tongue from saying things. Power from walking in places you shouldn't walk. Power. Now that power is there, but you got to yield to it. See, even though you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, you can still say no. But conviction will come later, if you're willing to receive the conviction. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. To Me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That's pretty powerful. Now, Jesus said, surely you'll eat of My flesh and drink of My blood. Drinking of the blood represents the Spirit. Eating of the flesh represents the Word. Now turn to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 36. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody all right? Ezekiel 36. Hallelujah. Everybody there? Ezekiel 36. And verse 23. And the Lord said, I will sanctify my great name, which is profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nation shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. In you. In me and you. When we are hallowed, when we are brought to a place where we acknowledge Him in everything. When we're hallowing His name. That's why, what does it say? Hallowed be His name. Right? When we're hallowed before Him. When we're honoring who He is in all of our life and everything we do. See, God will honor. He says, if you'll humble yourself, He'll exalt you. Now look at this. So we see here, this is one of the first things. When we are hallowed. When we honor Him. In 24. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Now we know He's talking about the Jews going into Israel, which is already happening, correct? But He's also talking about me and you who've been in darkness. And He's bringing us to His land of light. In His position of light. Now watch this. In verse 25. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Idols. Filthiness and idols go hand in hand. What's more important to you? Is God more important? Is your wife more important? Is your child more important? Is your job more important? Is your finances more important? Whatever is between you and God is an idol. Does everybody get it? Now listen to this. Now He says, now He just said, when you begin to hallow me, right, I'll cleanse you. Now this is what's going to happen. And I will give you a what? New heart. And put a what? New spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So we see that there's a birthing beginning to happen, isn't there? Now here's the conclusion to this. In verse 27 it says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. By who? By His Spirit, known as the Holy Spirit. But without fellowship and relationship with the Holy Spirit, you will disobey Him. Does everybody get it? So it's important that not only after you get baptized in the Spirit, that you stay filled with the Spirit of God, so that you can obey Him. Because if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you will not obey Him. You will listen to the voice of a stranger, and you will take heed to every excuse He has for you to get in God's presence. Because the devils don't want you in God's presence. He says, and then you will do what I ask you to do. In verse 29. Now listen. And then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. He's talking about promises. You shall be my people and I will be your God. Now you're an obedient child in your relationship with your father. In verse 29, watch this. He says, I will deliver you from all your uncleanliness, and I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. Now we see He's going to deliver us, isn't He? And He's going to multiply us and bless us. In verse 30 He says, and I will multiply the fruit of your trees. Now you're going to bear more fruit. By who? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. He says, I'm going to put my Spirit. Nothing changes until you are fellowshipping and dwelling in the Holy Ghost. Everybody get it? Go to Hebrews 10. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15. But the Holy Spirit also witnessed to us, for after He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put My laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. The Holy Spirit is the writer. Does everybody get that? He says, I will put My laws in their heart and in their mind. Let me share something with you. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, and let me give you an example. When I got baptized and filled with the Spirit of God, I did not know the Word by letter. The Word was in my mind, and in my heart, and my spirit. I knew what was right and what was wrong, and I knew what pleased my Father because I had fellowship in spirit and not even knew the Word. I didn't know the Word of God, but I did know the Word of God. I didn't know it as a common language in its writings of a letter. The Word of God was dwelt in me because the writer of the Word of God, I had fellowship with Him, and He directed me on what to do. Amen. Does everybody get that? That's why it's so important that you get in the Spirit, that He directs you to the Word. And I'll show you that. Hallelujah. In verse 17, then He adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3. Oh, glory to God. And verse 11. Now let's go to verse 4. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. Let's read this together. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It doesn't say anything about the Word, the letter giving life. It says the Spirit gives life, doesn't it? You know how many people are bound to the letter without the Spirit? They go by law. Then they justify themselves. Well, I haven't done this yet. I haven't done that yet. I must be all right with God. No. If you're not having fellowship in the Spirit, you're not right with God. Let's go a little further. In verse 7. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was what? Passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? The ministry of the Spirit being much more glorious. Let's go to verse 11. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at it, at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For even until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil was taken away in Christ. Now the word Christ means anointed one and his anointing. In verse 17, can we all read this? Now the Lord is the Spirit. Now isn't that something? The Lord is the Spirit. Wow. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is... Ooh. Now back up to verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Now he's just explained that the Lord is the Spirit. Didn't he? He said the Lord is the Spirit. So when someone receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the veils are not taken away until they're filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost, then the scales are removed.
Amen.
In other words, the seed was planted by the receiving of the name of Jesus as Savior. The washing of the blood was the removal of your sins. The next part is to be born again by the Spirit of God, where the seed is birthed, the scales come off, and you are a new creation in Christ. And it only happens then. Now we got to maintain it, don't we? And that means you got to stay filled with the Spirit of God. Because those who are led by the Spirit are known as sons of God. So it's our responsibility to stay filled with God's Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Quick, simple teaching. We're going to get ready to worship tonight. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 9. Is everybody there? And let's read this together, okay? But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor had entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Now wait a minute. These are the deep things of God that are revealed to me and you by the Spirit. It does not say that it's revealed by the Word.
Amen.
Does everybody understand that? He did not say that the deep things of God are revealed in the Word. He said the deep things of God are revealed in the Spirit. Now watch. Verse 10 again. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the what? Deep things of God. Continue. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of whom is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Why? That means you got to get in the Spirit to get the deep things of God, to find out what your direction is. In verse 13, these things we also speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Whoa. The carnal mind, the natural man, cannot count, nor can he receive them. And that lets you know what state you're in. Whether you're walking in the Spirit or in the flesh. Because if you're walking in the Spirit, your mind is set on the things of the Spirit. If you're walking in the flesh, your mind is set on the things of the world. You're more concerned about paying your bills than worshiping God. Like God can't pay your bills. How foolish can we be? God says you pay His bills, He'll pay yours.
Amen.
Believe me, when I'm down in money, you know what I do? Hon, give me the checkbook. It's time to sow in the Spirit. But we don't have enough for the mortgage. That's right. That's why I'm taking what we got left and sowing it in the Spirit.
Amen.
I'm not working it out my way. I'm working it out His way. And when I work it out His way, I can't go wrong.
Amen.
I can't go wrong. Or it might not happen the way I expected or the way I wanted. But something's going to happen.
Amen.
Every time. Hallelujah. All glory to God. Well, let's go a little further. Let's go to John 16. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you don't need to know the Word of God. Does everybody understand that? I never said that. And I never said anything that the Word of God is not true, did I? But I shared with you that the way you're going to get the deep things of God is to get it in the Spirit. He did not say you would get the deep things of God in the Word. Did he? He said you'd get it in the Spirit. Now watch what he does. This is powerful. In John 16 and verse 12. Now this is Jesus speaking, isn't it? John 16 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Jesus said to them, he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, because your mind is still carnal. Now listen. He says, however, in other words, I'll be able to tell you more things when you begin to have fellowship in the Spirit. Watch. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, known as the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Now understand this. Underline glorify me. In verse 15 it says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Who will? The Holy Spirit. He's known as the Spirit of truth. Correct? Now he says he will glorify me. Who is what? Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Go to John 1. John 1. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Verse 1 through 3. Let's read this together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What's he talking about? Jesus. Now, the Word is known as the written Word now, isn't it? It's known as Logos, which means written. Rhema means life-giving. All right? So we see here now that in verse 2 he says, and he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So we see that Jesus was God. He was known as the Word. He did not become Jesus or the Son until he came into the world. Now, in verse 14, would you read it with me? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh. Now, we just read that the deep things of God are revealed by the Spirit, right? Now, Jesus just said that when the Spirit has come, the Helper, he will guide you to all truth and he will glorify me, who is the Word.
That's right. Amen.
He will glorify the Word.
That's right.
Does everybody get it? He will glorify the Word. Who will? The Holy Spirit will glorify the Word.
Amen.
So many people are trying to glorify the Word without the Spirit, and they can't.
That's right.
They stumble over it. In fact, the Word beats them up because they can't walk it. So the Holy Spirit glorifies the Word. That's why when you get in the Spirit, he leads you to the Word for confirmation. You no longer search God in the Word. You search him in the Spirit. Then he brings you to the Word to confirm what he's told you.
Amen.
That's the difference between a relationship and religion. You know how many people fight over the Word? You know how many people fight over the name of God? Oh, Yahweh, well, Jehovah, well, it's this. Because they don't have the Spirit. They do not understand the deep things of God. And they will never rightly divide this word. And they will argue and become a stumbling block. And they will lead people astray. Because without the Spirit, there's no freedom. And the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen? So, are we getting somewhere? Good. Now let's go to John 4. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. John chapter 4. Now there was a woman at the well. The Lord was explaining to her that this water that you're drinking, which is natural, is not going to bring you spiritual life. But the water that I'm going to give you is Spirit. And it will bring you spiritual life. And he expressed something. After he explained it, he prophesied over the woman. He gave her a word of knowledge, letting her know that she had no husbands. That she was shacking up with somebody. And she needed to clean it up. And she went home and she told everybody, wow, he must be a prophet. He revealed my sins. He revealed what I was doing behind closed doors. You can't hide from Daddy. In verse 23, and the Lord came to her in this conclusion, and he said, but the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. The Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit, meaning breath, and in truth of who he is. If you've not been touched by God, it's because you're not worshiping him in truth and in spirit. Does everybody get it? And I don't mean you have to flip-flap like you're a fish out of water. I'm talking about touched, changed, filled, empowered, delivered. Have power to say no to the devil and yes to God. That's why it's important. He says, forsake not to assemble. You know how many people the devil pushes out of the church? It's phenomenal. We've all been offended, haven't we? One way or another. Jesus told his disciples, when he said to them, hey, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. They said, what? What, you crazy man? He said, did I offend you? And they left. He looked at his 12 disciples and said, you want to leave too? He didn't care. He did care. But he had to show them, didn't he? That my way is not about your way. Just because you don't understand something doesn't mean it's wrong. That's why he said, get understanding, get wisdom. The things of the Spirit are different than the things of the natural. The weapons of God in the Spirit and the deep things of the Spirit are totally different than what we do in the natural. Amen. Even though that there are parallels of certain things. And he said, listen, the Father is looking for those who are willing to lay down what he's asked them to lay down. He's looking for those who are willing to do whatever it takes and worship him in truth and in spirit. In verse 24, and it says, God is what?
Spirit.
And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Now go to 1 Samuel 16. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now Saul was anointed by God as one of the kings. And he had the Holy Ghost. God anointed Saul and gave him the Holy Ghost so that he could take care of the inheritance of God. So did he become a new man. And Saul kept resisting the Spirit. He kept saying, no, I'm going to do it my way. And Saul had the Holy Ghost. And God finally said, that's it, Saul. I've got myself another man for your position. I got myself another man for your position. In verse 14. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. Now look at this, what happened. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Let me share something with you. The devil knows how much of God you have. He knows. Those demons are waiting to come back when you're not filled. Those demons have access by darts, don't they? See, they shoot a dart and they cause you to do something, then they access you because they get fed by emotion. That's how they get fed. That's why drugs and alcohol, anger and all these other things. It's not the outward thing. It's the emotional thing that feeds them. And, you know, and you go to all these drug rehab centers and they're trying to tell you, well, you have a chemical dependency and you're this and your brain is activated this way and, you know, and that way and you need to do this. And they're so deceived from ungodly counsel. They can't, and they're sitting there huffing away with a cigarette, huffers from hell, trying to tell you how to get clean. Amen. Hey man, they tried to put me in one of those places. I wanted to sit outside. I was gagging from the smoke. I smoked everything but cigarettes for a while. I said, man, this is crazy. Amen. Ungodly counsel. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Let me tell you something. Those demons are waiting for you. They know whether you're dressed with the presence of God or not. If you're not dressed with God's presence, those demons are right there waiting and ready to access the home that they've been left. They've been thrown out of one time. Then you walk by a butt, and the devil says, man, why don't you, or you're with someone that smokes, and he says, why don't you bum a cigarette from them? It won't harm you. Just one.
You deserve it.
Why don't you just pick up this one drink? Hey, it's just pictures. It won't affect you. There they are again. You're going, man, what's the matter with me? Why am I having these dreams? Why am I speaking these things? Why you touch something unclean and you allow the spirit in? You see, you can touch something unclean even in your thoughts. You can go to places. It doesn't mean that a thought's not going to come, but it's what you do with it. If you entertain it, you're going to serve it. And when you serve it, that spirit's come back. I see so many people get delivered and healed from drugs and alcohol, and you know what they do? They pick up a cigarette and go right back. Open door. Go right back. Hallelujah. Now, is everybody all right? So we see the king, Saul, had the Holy Ghost, blessed from God, and he trampled the blessing long enough to where the Lord lifted himself from him and allowed a demon to come. Now, watch what happens. Go to verse 15. Let's read this together. And Saul's servants said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you." Now, they said this in a soft way. But in true reality, they should have just said, "Yo, you got a demon, man. And it's troubling you." That ain't no just distressing spirit. That's a devil from hell, and he's running your life. And verse 16, and you know what they said? They said, "Hey, you know what? Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp." Wow. They knew spiritual warfare back then. See, they saw a demon and they said, "Wait a minute. We need to get somebody who can play." They didn't go beat up Saul, did they? They didn't tie him down and whip him. Because they knew that the things in the natural realm was not going to work to deliver their king. "Let us find a skillful player of the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hand, and when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, you shall be" what? "Well," or healed. Now go to verse 23. Three things happen in God's presence now. Now that we've realize that it's the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. Come on now. In verse 23, three things happen in God's presence. "And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul," that was that demon, "that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul will become" what? "Refreshed and well," known as healed, "and" what? "The distressing spirit would depart from him." Do you understand the importance of worship? "And the distressing spirit would" what? "Depart from him." Powerful. Hallelujah. Now turn to Mark 16. Glory. In Mark 16. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. So as you and I begin to worship God tonight, he's going to show up. You need to unscrew your mind, put it underneath your seat, and let God deal with you. In Mark 16, is everybody there? In verse 17, let's read this together. In Mark 16, verse 17. "And these signs will follow those who believe." In other words, these signs will follow those who follow. "Now the Lord will give us power of attorney of his name." And he says, "In my name they will" what? "Cast out demons." Isn't it amazing? That's the first thing that he mentions. It's because he knew that your fight, my fight, was not going to be against flesh and blood, but those demons were going to come back. "And meekness turned those distressing spirits." But in Holy Ghost bazooka terms, there's a devil. And he's out to kill you and lead you astray. How long do you want to fellowship with those devils? We need to take dominion over them. The Bible says in Psalms 91 that we shall tread upon lions and cobras and serpents. Oh my. But But these signs will follow those who follow me. In my name they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. And that's not about going to college and learning another language. That's about getting filled with the Spirit of God and praying in tongues. If you're a follower. Now, if you're a part-time follower, don't expect all these things from God. If you want to follow God on Sunday and the rest of the week serve the devil, it ain't going to work. Amen? And they will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly and will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? Recover. Why? Because the power of Christ from the Spirit of the Lord is in you and on you. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go to Psalm 100 and something. 103. 103. Psalm 103. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And let's read this together. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, what's your soul made of? Your mind, your emotions, and your will. So what's he saying? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord with all of my mind, all of my emotions, and my will. Amen. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So you see, he's asking me and you to bless him with our mind, our emotions, and our will, and his benefits are going to manifest in you. Amen? And verse 3. He forgives all of your iniquities or your sins, and he heals all your what? Diseases, no matter what it is. Just go after him in the Spirit, and you will leave in the Spirit. Who redeems your life from destruction. Why? Because sicknesses and diseases and sin lead to death. So your life is on destruction, isn't it? But he's saying, if you'll worship me with all of your mind, your emotions, and your will, my benefits are going to manifest in you. He redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness. There ain't nothing greater than getting filled with the Spirit of God. And tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Now you're beginning to say good things. See, when you're not filled with the Spirit, even though you've been baptized with the Spirit, you'll find that if you're not filled, your mouth is not saying good things. Hallelujah. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, an eagle flies above the storm. And eagles also, you know what their delicacy is? Snakes. Serpents. They eat them. It's like filet mignon for them. See, so you'd be cruising around. The devil be hiding from you instead of you hiding from him. You'll have that Holy Ghost radar knowing, bam, there's one there. Devil! You won't be going, oh, there's a devil here. Because fear is not of God. He's given you love, power, and a sound mind. You'd be walking by someone, man, that person's going, devil, demon, right that one. Yep. Beep, 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 beep. You'll know. And you'll know them by their fruits. Believe me, I've seen people come in and go, oh, I love the Lord. I worship the Lord. Oh, yes. And I say, man, they got a devil. And I'll know it. A lot of people like fellowshipping with familiar spirits. Being brought down by the line. Going beyond the boundaries of what the Spirit has given us to do. You go beyond the boundary, you open to a distressing spirit, a familiar spirit. You walk out of the anointing of Christ, you walk into the spirit realm of darkness. Hello? Go to Acts 19. And we'll end with this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Acts chapter 19. See, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
Praise be to God. In verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. Now disciples are followers of Jesus, aren't they? And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And, of course, they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So if you don't know, you don't get. And that's what the devil's trying to do, isn't he? He's trying to prevent you from knowing the truth. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Right? Lack of truth, lack of understanding, lack of wisdom. And because we reject the ways of God and we reject this knowledge, he rejects us from being positioned as a priest and he's rejecting our children. Some of our children were lost because we've rejected God. We've rejected his counsel, we've rejected his way. Some of us were lost and rejected because our parents rejected the ways of God. Hallelujah. In verse 3, so they didn't even hear about the Holy Ghost, did they? And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And so they said to him, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. And I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Just what we read in Joel. And they what? They prophesied. Jesus says, I am the way, truth, and life. I am the door. Everything has been given to me and you by the Spirit. Fellowship in the Spirit brings us the deep things of God and he brings us to his Word, doesn't he? Oh, hallelujah. So we need to get in the Spirit so the Word can manifest in us. Because it's already there by the Spirit. The more you're filled with the Spirit, the more you're filled with the Word. Now if we'll just separate ourselves from the things of the world, because the Bible says, come out from among them and do not touch what's unclean, and then I will receive you as my son and daughter, and I'll be a father to you. That's why we lose relationship as father and son and father and daughter, and we feel God at a distance. Because we're touching unclean things. He tells us to wash, remove, cleanse your spirit. The Bible says, who can approach the mountain of God but he has a pure heart, a pure mind, and clean hands? That's what that's about. That's what assembling together is about. That's what worshiping in corporate is about. Because we just can't do it ourselves sometimes, can we? We just sometimes don't have the strength because we need one another. And there's a corporate part in worship where the anointing comes and begins to just flow down you. In you and through you. All praise be to God. So as we worship the Lord tonight, go after him with all of your heart, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Touch his heart and you'll be touched. Ask and you will receive. The first thing that must happen is you must be placed in divine position in the Spirit to get. You don't get it in the outer courts. You get it in the Holy of Holies. That's where the exchange is at. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. Now, Lord, we ask that you illuminate your word tonight and manifest it through your Spirit as we begin to honor and worship you in truth and in spirit. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you'll deliver, that you'll heal, that you'll impart, and that you'll refresh each and every one in this house tonight for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.